James says, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We will be blessed in our doing. Persevering. Knowing that as Satan accused me and says, you are a so-and-so, and I go, you are right. You are right. My Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of your marker. Please go and talk to him. He's paid all the debts. I'm not in this anymore. And then he's done. So when Satan accuses you, you agree. And you turn to God and you say, he's right. And God says, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the deal. It's not okay what you did. And Jesus died for it. But it's over. It was over before you breathed. I have done it. God's grace and his mercy, that's very good news. It's very good news. If we are to consider the Bible like a compass, right? So you have a compass, and it's a point of reference that may demonstrate which way is north, right? So you have your compass, you take it out. Then prayer and fasting may be considered a means of remembering. So if you have the Bible and it's a compass, prayer and fasting as a means of remembering. Remembering to take the compass out of our pockets and to refer to it and to remember to navigate according to true north. Adjusting our paths by what the truth tells. Choosing the direction by what we know is true and headed that way. Or at least knowing that that's north, that that'll be east. I'll go. You know how it works. Prayer helps us to recall what we have come to believe. Think about that. You already know what you know. You know what you believe. And so prayer calls us to recall. Say, wait, I know what I am. I know who I am. I know what needs to be. I know where I need to be. I know what I expect from fellowship. I know what I understand that is true. I know what it means to take a stand for what's true. I know what it means for Christ or Paul or Peter or Philip or any of them to have stood up and to face people who said, sit back down. You're not welcome here. We don't want to hear what you have to say. That's not good. We follow Jesus Christ. And he's called us to be heroic. And he's assured us that you're safe when you stand for me. And when old Nick comes and accuses of all your sin and he's right, it doesn't mean you're not worthy. Because Christ is worthy and there's forgiveness in his name. You stand. You stand because of what you're like. I made you a poster child to stand in front of people to show my best work. That's what God says to each one of us. You know, for just the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can help, you know. But God said, for the single act of my son's faithful death on the cross and resurrection, I have won for myself a nation of people who are all firstborn heirs and my children. God has no grandchildren. Each one individually related to him. And not bringing someone along and connecting them to themselves so that they would know God. But each one of us introducing anybody else to him that they would be adopted. And given the place of firstborn heir in God's kingdom. That's profound. That's what God is doing. Prayer helps us recall what we have come to believe. And as we rehearse what we have come to understand God to be like, think about that. Do you rehearse in your mind what God is like? Right? Going through Love Works stuff, they made a comment that said, worry is when you over and over in your own mind rehearse the trouble you're going to have. The trouble you do have. Why it's not going to work. What's maybe going to happen. Worry is rehearsing in your mind the negative things. Okay? Zoe is worried that Sunday school will collapse if it doesn't have enough people to work. She worries what'll I do if I don't fill the rota? And her husband says to her, her husband who happens to be the pastor says to her, you're worried about God's problem. That's not your problem. Your job is not to promote well enough or to convince passionately enough or to do it if no one shows up. That's not your job, I say to my wife. And as a pastor, I say to the coordinator of the children's ministry, which is touchy business, pray for your minister, okay? Because his wife's doing it, and he's caring for his wife, and the minister is caring for a person, and they're the same person. And so after the ministry meeting is over, we're still hanging out together. Hours and days. And it's lovely, I promise you, except for when it's not, because I get on her nerves, okay? Nervous laughter that breaks out from the crowd. You sympathize for Zoe, right? Both of us. What are humans like? So we're not having like a marital dispute over the children's ministry. What I'm saying is, pray to the Lord of the harvest because for workers, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So if I pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers, that's praying according to God's will. I'm doing exactly what Jesus said to do. And John, in his letter, he said, we know that when we pray according to God's will, that he hears us, and that if he hears us, we have what we ask. This is the assurance that we have. So is Scripture true? And did Jesus say it? And are we praying it as a group? Yes, we are. So God is answering that prayer. Now you remember, God went to Ananias and he said, go and tell Paul this stuff. And Ananias said, whoa, God, you don't understand. Paul kills people like me. Paul has been killing people. He's a baddie, as if God needed to be told. But Ananias came up with his best reason not to go. Right? That's my experience as a 24-year-old man when the advertisement came up at the front of the church for someone to help in Sunday school. No. No, other people do that. That's a lady's job. Says a 24-year-old arrogant man. I don't believe that now. But 24, I didn't even know girls. I was kind of like, they're like the strange other creatures on the earth. They're amazing. They're alluring. I wonder what they're like, you know. But God help me. Clueless. Trying to figure it out. I had sisters, and they were like, what is he like? What is he like? You know? But the call came, and I'll tell you what, I dodged the bullet enough times. And then one day I thought, if I can learn the stuff the day before the kids have to learn it on Sunday, I'll still be ahead of them. They're kids. They won't know. You know? And the guy said, you want to help in Sunday school? I was like, yeah, I can do it. They were like, let's have a meeting, you know, and we had a meeting, and, you know, they're like, don't you, like, still do Catholic Church in the evenings? You told people, you made a joke that you had dual citizenship to somebody, and I said, you know, it's true, I made the joke, and I did, and I do, but all I'm saying is that I understand the Bible, and I understand what you would say is Catholic doctrine versus that, and I'm not some statue-kissing, Mary-following Catholic. I read my Bible. I understand it's true. That's why I'm in fellowship here. I promise I won't say any of the stuff that you guys wouldn't agree with. I'll just, you have a curriculum. I'll teach curriculum. I'll help the kids stay in line. And they said, we're desperate for people. Okay, that's good. You know, I mean, that was pretty much how the conversation went. It was like a front, you know, they were like, well, you know, we can't, you are good. Okay, yes. And it feels like that in children's ministry. And it's like that when we're talking about this stuff. You know, what is God like? What does he want from me? Do I have to go be a missionary to... I used to say be a missionary to Borneo. I thought that was the funniest thing I could say till I met a guy and he said, I've been to Borneo. It's really nice there. Like, if God ever calls you to Borneo, don't hesitate. You know? And I thought, oh, there goes my joke. But I think whether it's children's ministry or whether it's speaking up at a public meeting when someone says something about a Christian faith that's not true, and you could set the, you know, we sat here in a church meeting and we were making decisions about where money would go. And we talked about the Baptist Missionary Society. And there was a member of the church who's been a missionary for the Missionary Society, who was able to set everyone in the room straight about, you know, here's why it's important that when you give money to the Missionary Society that you do give, because it's not a faith mission. They don't have people raise money themselves to go out to places. They actually join the Baptist Missionary Society, who sends missionaries, and the cost of what they do is actually paid by the churches that contribute to BMS, or by you if you contribute individually. And that set the room straight. That calibrated everyone in the room to go, oh, that's important then. So if we shifted money away from there, you're actually shifting away livelihood of people who have already gone. And so we stopped and we, like, oh, all right, well, let's. So we ended up putting out this little box. Instead of shifting one BMS payment to the Love Works people, we decided, all right, we'll just put out a box, and anybody who they've been ministered by, they'll contribute, and that'll be how we'll know. That'll be the faith part of these people who have stepped out. They're not Baptist Missionary Society missionaries who, depending on it, they're also depending on it, but maybe they have other resources too. But knowing what God's like, that God, when I pray to you, that you hear, and when I pray according to your will, that you answer, and it counts for our family, and it counts for our church. It's true. We hold to this stuff. And we consider ourselves before a holy God according to his opinion. He tells us what we're like. And we agree.